I hope you had a good impression already, a good overview about our project, A European Perspective, with this little video. I will explain a little bit more now how it works, because it was very short. It is really a network of, for the time being, 11 European public service media organizations, European broadcasters. We started working last year, and you see here all the partners who participated so far. Now, so we started in July 2021, really being online. Since then, actually, we have been 9,000 stories have been shared in 8 languages between the different broadcasters. And what you see here is a widget. This is how it appears on the web pages of the participating broadcasters. So they choose items from the other participating broadcasters and create a widget on their web page, and have here you have the example from France Télévisions, and have it then shown on their web page in their language, but they could also have it in English or other languages if they wanted. So it's a relatively short experience, but it has been quite successful already. It's been published in more than 30 of those boxes by 11 members. You see here that we had more than 64 million box display views, and result with 3 million article clicks, and which created also a community, and that is very interesting, of 150 editors and developers working actually on a daily basis together across Europe. How does it work? You have here an example of a publication in the German environment, German-speaking environment, where you see an article which came originally from Portugal. It's being translated, and then you have it on the widget of the German blog broadcaster. You can see it here downstairs, together with other selected items. The project is based on what we call a monitoring tool, which is the basic backbone, really, of the project, where all participating broadcasters contribute with their news items into the tool. Then, and what you see here is the sort of web page and the tool which then the broadcasters who participate can use. They can search items according to language, according to subjects, the broadcasters, anything they would like to have. Choose it then. If it's allowed for publication, they can choose it, and then they can put it into their box. Now, of course, first it has to be translated. You saw in the video that we use AI to help us translating it, but there is human correction. So the principle is that an article is always translated from the original language into English by AI, and then the publishing, the original broadcaster verifies the English translation, and the English translation is then the master translation for any other languages. So you have always a factual correction in this first step. Participating members then can ask for having it translated into whatever language they want, German, French, Spanish, whatever. And then it has been translated from the English sort of master translation into that language, and then they can publish it. It's important also to see how it works. I mean, there is also a script, though, so corrections would take place in that script. The idea being that, of course, the original broadcaster, Portuguese in this case, he knows the background, he knows the article, and can make sure that the factual that the facts are right in the translation, because not all of the 11 broadcasts, of course, would be able to correct from Portuguese. We go from the principle that they would all know English, so they can check from the English translation then into their own language whether there is any problem. So it's AI, but human control. Here you have an example on the Arte website in the German part. Just to get it looks differently because people, they all put in a widget, this little box, but adapted to their needs and slightly different here on the Arte website. The idea being that it's decentralized, that the participating broadcasters use existing audiences they have on their own websites to give access to European content. It's an ever-growing network. So I said we had 11 members already participating, but we have others who want to join. And we hope that over the next period, we will even have more. Now, we started last year, as I said, this year, and this was with European funding, co-funding, I should say. And we have now just started the second phase, and again with European funding. And what we call it here is a European perspective, creating a network pan-European newsroom anchored in public service values. The idea of this network pan-European newsroom is very important. So it's not a central, as I said earlier, it's not a central European news platform, but a decentralized platform. So each of the members participating publishes this little widget, this recommendation box on their own websites, but using the content from all the participating members. The vision is really that we want to create this network pan-European newsroom and by sharing online trustworthy independent news and also innovating together. And that is important in the second phase. I mean, the first phase was already sort of an innovation, but in the second phase, we do also other things. And here again, you see who's participating in this networked pan-European newsroom. So it's not one central newsroom, but many national news desks offering a diversity of perspectives. It's editorially co-driven by members. So we have regular meetings between all the people participating. And we try also to come up with joint themes for boxes. For example, we had one on COVID. We had on the Ukraine war. People chose specifically subjects on Ukraine war, but coming from the different partners. And so that is a very important element. And as I said, it's supported by AI and other innovation tools. Now, in the second phase, there are really three elements. You can summarize it like this. We want to continue, of course, with this exchange of content, but we want to have more sources, more themes, and more formats, just trying also new ways of bringing it to the audience. An element which is added to the project is the fact-checking network and also a social media strategy which will be developed. We started very timidly during the first year, but in the second year, it's very clear that we need to work on this to also extend and reach other audiences, younger audience in particular. So social media, of course, is crucial for this element. And we want to develop a real fact-checking system also within this project, benefiting from experience from members who already participate, and France Télévisions is leading on this part of the work program. And then the last one, technology. I mean, of course, this whole project is based on AI, on innovative technology, on recommendations, as you saw, and what we want to develop within this project in the second phase is what we call a public service algorithm. And this is really about a recommendation system mainly, which makes sure that it brings the relevant content to the audiences, but which also makes sure that it takes them out of the filter bubble so that you have a broader view of things and you're not closed in the bubble. The partners of the second phase, you have them here. We have a number of official consortium partners, so it's the EBU. AFP has joined, and that's very interesting because they provide us with picture material. And I think if I heard it, well, I heard, I didn't hear very much from Matthias also. One of the problems is, of course, copyright in this issue, because a lot of the news items which are contributed by our members use material from agencies, news agencies. And this is, of course, not copyright free, so you cannot just publish it in another country. They have just acquired the copyright for their own country, but not for all the other countries where this will be published. So it's very good to have AFP on board, because they provide us with copyright free in this project material, which everybody can use. And then we also have, in addition to public service media, the Constructive Institute, a journalism institute, who are based in Denmark, and they have quite some experience on what we call public service algorithms. So they will contribute to this part. And there is a difference contractually between consortium members and project partners, but you see that the project partners are all then our members from different countries across Europe. Just an example, we also recently worked on having content in Ukrainian language, actually. And here you have a European perspective box in Ukrainian language. So this language was added recently to our translation system, so that people who only speak that language can also access information from across Europe. And another, and this is an example about fact-checking, where you remember that it was said that Hitler did not had Jewish blood, and just an example of a story where fact-checking took place. This was run by the Belgian broadcaster RTBF, and this is a kind of initiative we will also then run in the second phase more regularly. Now, just I want to end with a mention in an audience study, because our Finnish member actually ran an audience study to find out whether this kind of offer is interesting to their audiences. And you have here what one of the people who were interviewed said, and they really found it very relevant. And so that's very encouraging. We want to do this also on a more European scale to find out what is really useful for our audiences, to address more the needs and interests, and to really have more, still more audience, and especially more younger audience. But the success until now actually proves that this is a worthwhile project. And then just as a very last comment, of course, this kind of project aims to contribute to the creation of the European public sphere, in particular in the news and current affairs field. But there are other projects, very good projects. We have also worked with a European collection from Arte, for example, where they translate and share documentaries in six languages. So, but there are other projects, and what as part of this second phase of the project, we want to extend and see who could be the potential other partners we could work with and want to work with. And that could go beyond news and current affairs and also media. We are also considering other cultural institutions like museums, for example. It's perfectly feasible to, you know, offer a framework in which we work also to these other institutions. The condition for that would be that that they have to accept to work with the same values, public service values, as we call them. But it's really about freedom of expression, it's data protection, and all of these important values in the digital environment. And so that would be a midterm project, let's say, to extend it and see how we can work together in the European public sphere in a broader context. And here I am at the end of my presentation, and I hope you heard me well. And if you have a question, I'm happy to answer that.
Thank you so much, Nicola, for this very interesting presentation. We already have one question in the room.
Yes, I'm Volker Grasmark from the SDEPS Alliance. Thank you for the presentation of this very interesting project. My impression is that it's still very much top down from editors deciding what audiences want to see. You mentioned the planned social media strategy. Could you please tell us more about what is in the making there? Thank you.
Okay, so to be honest, I mean, we start off at the, I had a terrible echo in this. I don't know. Oh, is that okay? Can you hear me still? Okay, that's better.
Yes.
As I said, to be honest, I think we are very much at the start of developing the social media strategy, but you're absolutely right. I think it's crucial to find out and to have a conversation with audiences. And this audience study was sort of a first step. But it would, I think it can be imagined that we create some kind of a platform where also audiences can enter into conversation with the broadcasters so that we can find out in a better way what would be interesting for them and how we can improve the services. And this is exactly to come away from this top-down decision-making. I mean, of course, I mean, as you can see, broadcasters traditionally do their programs. That's what they've always done. But as part of this project, we want to also address this.
Hello, my name is Helga Schwarzwald. I'm working for community media broadcasters here in Austria. Thank you so much for your presentation and also congrats already on what you've achieved. I think the language barrier is something we really need to, or it's worth tackling to also have a European public sphere. So thank you for that. I would like to ask, I didn't see the OIF on your list so far, so maybe you can just say a word whether the Austrian Public Service Broadcaster is considering to join. The other thing is, I just became aware of the BBC and Beyond manifesto by the Media Reform Coalition in the UK. There it's also very much suggested to look at participation with public interest content producers. So is this also something you think about in terms of reaching out to also civil society alliances when you mentioned museums and public service broadcasters? And yeah, just I'm interested in the discussion at the EBU level on these issues. Thank you so much.
All right. Regarding the ORF, we are in conversation with them. And I think in the second phase, we have the possibility to welcome other partners, other members, including the ORF. So they haven't joined yet, but they might well do so in a very short moment. So we are discussing. For reaching out to civil society organizations, I think that would be probably a longer term perspective. I think in the midterm perspective, we're looking at institutions. I wouldn't exclude it, but and then it depends what it is, because now for now, of course, we are concentrating on our expertise, I would say, which is news and current affairs. This is what broadcasters very well know how to do it. If we reach out to other organizations, then we have to design a bigger, let's say, network and rethink a lot of different elements. I would not exclude also including other organizations like civil society organizations. But to be honest, I think that would be at a later stage if we do it.
Hello, Michael Zitter, also STEPS, but also International Association of Public Media Researchers. So currently you are on a project level, but I would be interested, what should the plan be for beyond this project? Is the idea that it is an internal news agency with these services, or should it go to connect really the newsroom, so be a connected newsroom tool?
I mean, it is already sort of a connection of newsrooms, yes. We are looking also, but that also would be a longer term view and perspective, I think, to creating maybe at some stage a centralized news hub, if you want. For now, we have chosen this way to have a decentralized newsroom because our members find that they can really harness the existing audiences already they have on their platforms, and their news platforms are usually quite popular, and so they can reach people easily. We have seen with some of the European projects that it was very difficult to get enough audiences. People don't naturally go to these centralized places. That can change over time, and it's probably a question of getting used to these things, education and getting to know it. And of course, things change also. Language has always been an issue. Now we are trying to overcome this with this system. So yes, in the long term, one could talk about and think about a centralized offer, but I think it would probably always be in parallel to the decentralized offerings on our members' pages, because in that way, you can make sure that you really reach a maximum of audiences. And then the principle now of this platform, of our approach, is that members choose the items they will publish on their websites. And in that way, they can also make sure that they choose the ones which they know or think they know that they're interesting to the audience. If you have a centralized place, this is much more difficult. But I mean, things are in development, in discussion, and things are possible in the longer term. I wouldn't exclude that at all.
Okay, thank you so much. We only have time for one more question, I fear, because we're already behind schedule.
Okay, I'll be short. Hello, Nicolas. This is Helmut Peisel from Commit, CMFE. We know from the project New Neighbors we did together with you. And we had quite good experience with exchange between public service partners and civil society, a media organization, mainly with CMFE as our European umbrella organization. And I wonder if this could not be a good basis for further cooperation also in this sense of platform cooperation now. So just to give an idea, to look back what has been already done in cooperation between public service organizations and civil society media, and to take it as a starting point for going also in this field for further cooperations. Just wonder if you have an impression that that could be some fruitful experience to build on.
No, absolutely, indeed. And I think we enjoyed very much the cooperation in the New Neighbors project, which worked really very well. Indeed, I think we can look out to that as well. And I think during the second year, we will look at different ways of improving cooperation in all fields. And I think civil societies also can have a great contribution to find out better maybe what audiences really want, because and then to come away, to get away from this top down, as was mentioned earlier, certainly. We're just at the beginning of our second phase, and I think we are exploring possibilities and also possible discussions. This is also why we're here today. I mean, it's really good to discuss. So we're open for discussion, and I will certainly bring this also back to my colleagues and to members so that we look at it. We have quite some tasks already on our plate, but social media strategy, for example, would be a case, I think, where cooperation with civil society or your organization would be certainly very fruitful. So I will bring back these ideas to colleagues and members, and we'll discuss it, and then we'll see how we can take it from there.
That sounds awesome. Thank you so much, Nicola, for your presentation and all the discussion.